परमहंस परमजाताचार्य अष्टोत्तर सप्तर्षि श्रीमान इस डिवाइन ग्रेस इज द भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की जय इस कॉन्फाउंडेड चार्य इज द डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharini Nirvishesha Sundivani Aschachi Desitara. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 15, text number 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the word meanings, text number 42, treats way into the three qualities, bhutva, having offered, cha, also, pancha, tvam, five elements, tat, that, cha, also, ekatve, in one nescience, ajuhot, amalgamated, muni, the thoughtful, sarvam, the sum total, Atmani, in the soul, Ajuha Dix, Vamani, and to the spirit, Atmanam, the soul, Avyaye, and to the inexhaustible. Tritve Hudva Chapancha Tvam. Chachai Kakti Yuhan Muni
Chachai Kakti Yuhan Muni
Sarvam Atmani Ujjudha
Sarvam Atmani Ujjudhavi
Vaman Vamani Atmanam Avyaye
Vamani Atmanam Avyaye.
Please chant.
Three.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus annihilating the ghost body of five elements into the three qualitative modes of material nature, he merged them in one nescience, and then absorbed that nescience in the self, Brahman, which is inexhaustible in all circumstances. Report. All that is manifested in the material world is the product of Mahatattva Avyakta, and things that are visible in our material vision are nothing but combinations and permutations of such variegated material products. But the living entity is different from such material products. It is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of his eternal nature as eternal servitor of the Lord, and his false conception of being a so-called Lord of the material nature, that he is obliged to enter the existence of false sense enjoyment. Thus, a concomitant generation of material energy is the principal cause of the mind's being materially affected. Thus, the gross body of five elements is produced. Maharaj Yudhisthira reversed the action and merged the five elements of the body in the three modes of material nature. The qualitative distinction of the body as being good, bad, or mediocre is extinguished, and then and again the qualitative manifestation becomes merged in the material energy, which is produced from a false sense of the pure living being. When one is inclined to become associated with the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, in one of the innumerable planets of the spiritual sky, especially Goloka Vrindavan, one has to think always that he is different from the material energy. He has nothing to do with it, and he has to realize himself as pure spirit Brahman, qualitatively equal with the Supreme Brahman, Parameshwara. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after distributing his kingdom to Parikshit and Vraja, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of false freedom from material relations, as well as freedom from the material energy of the gross and subtle encirclement, makes one free to act as a servitor of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. This stage is called Jivan Mukta, the Jivan Mukta stage, or the liberated stage. Even in the material world, that is the process of ending material existence. One must not only think he is Brahman, but must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist, and one who acts like Brahman is the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Gyanata Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Muratamyena Tasmai Shri Guruvaya Namah. So another very clear but complicated subject matter built around what we've been told is the prime focuses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is, Srimad Bhagavatam answers the question of what one should do at the time of death. What one should do to prepare for death. Actually, there are many of these kind of statements or frameworks which help us approach the vast Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses, and it covers a wide range of subjects that are realized at varying degrees of purity by the devotees of the Lord. And so it's a huge undertaking. I mean, we've been studying Srimad Bhagavatam for 50 years, trying to answer this one question of what is the duty of a man who's about to die. At least when we put it in those terms, what is the duty of a man about to die, we can latch on to the teachings of the Bhagavatam in some way. We have some framework to grasp it. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. Just like these verses we're reading here. Maharaj Yudhisthira is actively involved in answering the question about what is a man's duty at the time of death. And he's showing in different ways, by amalgamating the senses here and merging them with the material nature. Very complex. I mean, at least for me, I find it very difficult to understand how he was doing this or why it's even necessary. Seems like this process is taking some time. Yet there are other descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Say, for instance, when Dhruva Maharaj, when he died, it's described that it was like lightning and illumination that occurs simultaneously, almost instantaneously. That was Narada Muni. Okay, well, same point. It didn't seem like he went through all this amalgamating the senses into material nature and all of the descriptions that we've had, particularly in the last couple of verses. But is there a key, something that is a framework that helps us to grasp the idea and make it comprehensible to us? Yesterday in the class, Amadamati was dealing with this same subject matter, amalgamating the senses and activities of the senses. And she picked up from the purport a framework to understand that. What is amalgamating the senses into Brahman mean? And so she read in the purport that it means engagement in devotional service. So immediately, with that framework, we could understand how to engage the senses, how to merge them with the spiritual energy, and how to die, how to approach death. The framework gave us some paths of understanding. And actually, this is the mission of the acharyas. So she's following in the footsteps of the acharyas. The acharyas make the Shastra approachable for us so that we can understand and take the lessons that are being given. Srila Prabhupada was actually expert at this himself. If we think about his instruction, simple instruction, you're not the body. And we've heard that a lot of times, and we generally have it sort of hanging out there as a isolated statement or concept. You're not the body. And yes, it does serve that purpose. But at the same time, by focusing on you're not the body, Srila Prabhupada is actually setting up a framework by which we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam and the ultimate question about Srimad Bhagavatam about what is the duty of a man who's about to die. For instance, if we go back to the purport and read it a little more carefully, we can see this instruction that you're not the body. And what one should do, what that means, what not being the body means we should do. Prabhupada says in the purport, Maharaj Yudhisthira, after distributing his kingdom to Prikshit and Vraja, did not think himself emperor of the world or head of the Kuru dynasty. This sense of false freedom, this sense of freedom from material relations, as well as the freedom from the material engagement of the gross and subtle encirclement, make one free to act as a servitor of the Lord, even though one is in the material world. In other words, Prabhupada's saying by this statement, you're not the body. And you're not the body means that you don't have to worry about material engagement. All these things are illusory. And that makes one free to act as a servitor of the Lord. And Prabhupada says this stage is called Jivan Mukta, or the liberated stage, even in the material world. So the simple instruction, you're not the body. But if we look at it rather as an isolated statement, but see it as a framework for understanding what we are supposed to do, then we get a way to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Yudhisthira gave up thinking of himself as the king, the emperor, all sense of false relations. He achieved all that. Well, we can achieve all that as he achieved it. He achieved it through the amalgamation that we've been reading about. Prabhupada's purport enables us, with these simple words, you are not the body, it enables us to also free ourselves from the material engagement and encirclement, subtle encirclement, Prabhupada says. And that will make us free to act as spirit soul, Jivan Mukta. And by acting, we can achieve the ultimate goal of the spirit soul, to be reunited with Krishna in the spiritual world. So that framework, you're not this body, gives us an avenue to accomplish the same things that Maharaj Yudhisthira is accomplishing in this description of how he dealt with the gross body and the five elements and the false ego. It makes life a lot easier for us. At least from my perspective, that's good. And there are actually many kind of frameworks like this that make Krishna consciousness available to us more easily. Another one, which is rather famous, is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. In the 10th canto, 8th chapter, text 45, it said here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishad, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So how do we understand this verse? I mean, there's reference to the Vedas, the Upanishads, vast literatures in themselves, very philosophical. There's reference to Sankhya Yoga, which is also a complex field of study. So how are we to even approach this? Well, Prabhupada explains that there's a method for doing that. I'll read his comments. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.15 by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand Him. Vedeshasava aham evavedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes of the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumarto Mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is to achieve love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yasoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. So Prabhupada is explaining to us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Sanatana Goswami a framework for understanding the highest purpose in life, Premo Pumarto Mahan. It's a three-step process, and if we apply ourselves to it, we can actually attain, understand this very deep subject matter. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So I thought I'd just give a brief description of each of these parts of the framework and see how they fit together to result in genuine understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So Sambandha. Srila Sanatana Goswami is the Acharya of Sambandha, the process of understanding relationship with Lord Krishna. The deity for Sambandha is Madan Mohan. So each of these stages, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, has an Acharya, or one of our previous Acharyas, whose teachings illuminate that subject matter. So Sambandha, our relationship with Krishna, is made more accessible to us. We're told, go to this place and you'll get instruction specifically on this matter of understanding your relationship with Krishna. And so we can study, for instance, the writings of Srila Sanatana Goswami, most notably Brihad Bhagavatamrita. If we study that work, we're taking part in this sambandha. We're taking advantage of that part of the framework that's been given to us, sambandha, by studying the writings of Srila Sanatana Goswami. There's also a deity that can be approached, the principal deity of Vrindavan that can be approached for understanding this part of the framework, Sambandha. Does anybody know which deity or Sambandha is? Madan Mohan, correct. So Madan Mohan is he included? Yes. So he's in Karoli, right? Or Jaipur, Karoli, I think. Yeah, the original deity has moved to Karoli. So by worshiping Madan Mohan specifically, we also get instruction, help, understanding of this principle of sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given the framework, and he's detailed each part of that framework, how it can help us. Next is Abhideya. Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, is the Acharya of Abhideya, and he reveals how to execute devotional service. His deity of Radha Govindaji accepts service and gives inspiration for increasing surrender on the path of bhakti yoga. I don't know if you had the chance recently, but Indradumna Swami did a 5 or 7 part lecture series on the hidden glories of Sri Govindaji, where he tells the whole history of the deity, carving, the dismantling of the temple, the moving of the deities. It's quite interesting. Historically, it's very interesting, and spiritually, it's inspiring as well. And those pastimes of the deity undoubtedly are part of this, the Abhideya, which Srila Rupa Goswami is the Acharya for. This is rather easily approachable, Abhideya, acting in the relationship, because Rupa Goswami has given such a clear explanation of all the principles of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. So we can study that book very deeply, and in that way advance along the path of Abhideya. Actually, many years ago here in Gainesville area, I'm talking about back in the 70s, I was doing sankirtan in the parking lots, and I approached an old black gentleman who was sitting in a beat-up pickup truck in a parking lot. And I started to sell him a BTG or something. Then he looked at me very closely and he said, "Do you know what my favorite book is?" I thought he was going to, here we go with a Christian and his Bible thumping. But I was shocked, and I'm still shocked to this day, that he pulled out an old, tattered copy of that pink Nectar of Devotion. Yeah, he pulled out an old, very well-read, marked-up, eared Nectar of Devotion and said, "This is my favorite book." I just stood there looking at him with my mouth open. I couldn't believe it. But somehow or another, I didn't get his contact or whatever. But I know he exists because Vaninath Vasu had the same experience with the guy, meeting this person. Who he was, I don't know. But there he was. His favorite book was Nectar of Devotion. I think Akuti met him also.
Yeah, so I think he was just out there. Somebody, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, old black man.
He's probably 90 plus now.
Well, if he's around, I mean, he was a senior citizen back in those days. But yeah, that was one of the most...
What did you say? Senior citizen, you know, what is my...
Favorite book. Anyway, Nectar of Devotion is all of our favorite book because it actually brings us in this framework of approaching the questions of Srimad Bhagavatam. It brings us actively, make us actively engaged, as Prabhupada says in the purport today at the end, but must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist, and one who acts like Brahman is a pure devotee. So Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains very carefully how we should act every 24 hours a day and give his actions devotion we can perform. And so finally, Prayojana. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. The Gopinath deity is Krishna as master and proprietor of the gopis, the totally surrendered devotees. Sri Gopinathji, Sri Radha Gopinath, also are in Jaipur along with Govindaji. The Gopinath deity represents the Prayojana Tattva, the truth about life's goal or purpose, love of Krishna. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami accepts the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami as his highest aspiration. He thus reveals the way to attain the perfection of one's loving relationship with Sri Krishna. Through humble prayers and service to the Radha Gopinath deity, and by imbibing the teachings and mercy of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, a devotee can quickly advance in devotional service and attain the ultimate goal of life, Prema Bhakti. So, Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. This framework makes available to us the highest subject matter. And practically speaking, I read the verse from 10th canto, 8th chapter. It gives us a way to approach an understanding. The verse again. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yashoda considers that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So that's very esoteric subject matter, how Mother Yashoda can consider her the Supreme Person her ordinary child, even though the Vedas, the Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga provide a very complex approach. So we're very fortunate that we get the opportunity to have these kind of frameworks presented to us. We're not the body, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, to help us understand the goal of life, or the duty of one who's about to die. I have here some verses that Srimati, does anybody know Srimati? In Mayapur, she's there for years, Vrindavan for years. Srimati Mataji. Anyway, she in her own bhajan has selected three verses, one on each of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, which help her meditation. And they were presented in a seminar, I think by VIHE, a few years ago. So I just thought I would read those verses, as they can probably help us meditate on Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana as well. So for Sambandha, verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 6.86. Chaitanya Radhasa Muni, Tamra Radhasa. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. That's Sambandha Gyan.
Who said that verse?
Advaitacharya has said that verse. So on Abhideya, Dasa Aparada Yena Hidayena Pashe Kripakare Mahaprabhu Maji Namarase. This is from Hainam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. O Mahaprabhu, please be merciful to me so that the 10 offenses never touch my heart and I can always remain absorbed in the rasa of the holy name. Chanting is our primary way of reestablishing our relationship. Finally, on Prayojana, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 20:37, Prema Dana Vina Vyatra Dari Dad Vivana Dasa Kare Vetani More Deha Prema Dana. Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray to you. I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. So
that was
Adi 20:37.
Yeah.
So this is the reference here is given as Adi Lila. It may be wrong. He's saying there's
it's only 17 chapters.
Okay, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text number 37. Or maybe you can look it up just for sure. So, Anchi Lila, chapter 20.
It's the last part of the book.
Because that's the last chapter, yes.
So, comments, questions, reflections? Got a book?
Could be, you know, bewildering, I guess, you and your wife both said, because of all this technical understanding or explanation merging. When we hear about Ajamyali simply chanted, so many times that Gajendra chanted at the, you know, awesome. So, but here, it's almost like Dhritarashtra seems like something we would never practice in Kali Yuga. But I guess he had options, so he, you know, he didn't just chant or something. In other words, yeah, it could be. I agree. So why is that? Why Yudhisthira? He's not Dhritarashtra. He's a pure devotee. Well, he could just chant. Why does he have to worry about all these things? Even in the 8th chapter of the Gita, it says how the yogis have to begin the Uttarayan certain time and then pass, but the devotees don't need to worry about any of that. And that's even.
Yeah, that's, at least we're given something to get around.
Well, it's trying to show us how we're getting the easy way out. Maybe. Yeah. I haven't read all this.
It's true. I was just also thinking, like, sense object belongs to senses, and senses belongs to the mind, and mind belongs to the prana, or life air. Life air belongs to apana, and apana belongs to death. But that's not applicable to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He's an eternal associate. I mean, the logic that you read, purport, very nice, but that's not applicable. I mean, what I understand, maybe I'm wrong. Because eternal associate, I mean, Yudhishthira Maharaj is an associate. Krishna stayed there 2 months. That's a big deal. Maybe is it like something like Prabhupada said that even Paramahamsa, for the sake of preaching, should have a shaved head, shika, neck beads. Not that they need it, Prabhupada said like this. Yeah. But Prabhupada said, for preaching's sake, even Paramahamsa should have. They should act like a bhakta, dress.
Well, maybe there's varieties of ways of approaching the Supreme Lord, and it's just to show that. But I agree that Yudhisthira Maharaj is different from Dhritarashtra, you find out, yes.
Hmm. But they may feel also, no? Bhaktivinoda Thakur feels he's so fallen. Amara jivana sada paripareto. That doesn't make sense. I mean, those qualities, that my life is full of sin, is not Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But they have a genuine feeling.
Anything else? Other reflections?
Or maybe they are exhibiting for future or us, I mean for me.
Well, not for Kali Yuga, obviously.
No, but it is possible because he mentioned what Madan Madhumati says, that the whole idea of that going backward and then coming to the mind, but that mind serving. Transcendental service, actually mind is amalgating. So that conception is correct. Because when we do devotional service is on pure Suddha Sattva platform. That's true. But he made a point that Sambandha Gyan, the service is the key for Sambandha Gyan. If there is no service, Sambandha Gyan is not really fully manifest.
And I think Arjuna did the same thing, because in the previous verse that I read, it said that Yudhishthira Maharaj...
Hold on.
It seems like Arjuna did the same thing, just not Yudhishthira Maharaj, because it said in the verse, if I remember correctly, that I read, the first sentence said something like, Yudhishthira Maharaj followed Arjuna, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so it seems like Arjuna must have done the same thing. And Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita. And so I think it's just different ways that's done. You know, whatever he did, that was the way. And they were also thinking of Krishna the whole time while doing whatever they were doing. So,
in the Bhagavad, I think it says that he followed Arjuna.
Yeah, it says.
So, I mean, that means he did Arjuna did before. Followed means what? Behind.
Well, popularly you hear that it was used to. Everyone fell before Yudhishthira. That's the popular version.
Well, that's just the Mahabharata version, you know, whatever.
That's popular. Okay. Bhante Gaur Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you. That was very nice class. This is very interesting chapter.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.